Okay, so this is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. We're delighted to have today with us Ashley Baer and Irene Wan from the National Academy of Science. And they've just been here for a very intense day of town hall meetings around an exciting new Academy's report called Branches of the Same Tree. So maybe, Ashley, you could just tell us a few words about the report and your background.
Sure. Thanks so much, Roger. And it's been just an amazing time here at UT Dallas. Irene and I have just been absolutely blown away by all the conversations we've had with everyone. We're here and delighted to be talking about this new report from the National Academies of Sciences. It was a report that we worked on over the past 2 years under the leadership of David Skorton, who is the current secretary of the Smithsonian, previous president of Cornell University, and an excellent interdisciplinary committee of artists and humanists and scientists and physicians and engineers and people who themselves work across those disciplines.
Maybe you could just say one word about your own career track.
Oh, sure. My own career track has also been fairly circuitous and dipped into different sectors and communities and disciplines. So I'm an evolutionary biologist by training, but after receiving my PhD, I decided to go into the policy world, and I spent time working at the National Science Foundation, and then some time working at the State Department for the science advisor to the Secretary of State, and now I'm at the National Academies working on issues related to higher education and also the underrepresentation of women in science and engineering.
Okay, very good. Irene, tell us a little bit about the work you did on this report,
Sure. And
in particular the follow-up activities. So people listening, there's a really interesting event at the National Academies on April 12th,
correct.
Is that?
Right.
Where you're trying to collect everybody's thoughts on how this report might actually lead to change in our country.
Yeah. So I served as the research associate for Branches of the Same Tree. And so I assisted the committee in compiling research and evaluating some of that research. The report was published in May 2018, and so since the publication of the report, we've been going around the country, staff and committee members, at town halls such as the ones that we did yesterday and today, to talk about the report's findings and recommendations. We have this ongoing outreach activity, and we're planning a national convening on April 12th, and we're hoping to elevate some of the research and the programs that we mentioned in the report even more, elevate the conversation and hope we can move forward with some better solutions.
Okay, so the other person who's in the room talking with us is Kyle Hamilton. Kyle, who are you? And what's your background and your career ambitions?
My name is Kyle, as Roger mentioned. My background is in management. I did a BA in management. I'm working here at the Arts Elite Research Lab at UTD, working on data narrativism, how we communicate scientific information. I'm specifically looking at the data that is collected through the ongoing research projects in the lab. And in the fall, I'll hopefully be starting a degree at Elliott in science and technology policy.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Kyle. So one of the nice things is the full report is available for free on the National Academy's website. So if you're interested in the detailed studies that both Irene and Ashley worked on, they're all in chapters in this report. I guess for me, the one take-home message from our discussions yesterday was the report recommends initiatives in higher education to integrate science, humanities, technology in higher education because of the concern that many universities have gone into such hyper-disciplinary practices that the corporate world and other employers are wondering whether universities are training students the right way. So you know, for me, you know, as we discussed over the last 2 days, this has been a recurring issue over the last century. This balance between general education and very specialized education. Tell us a little bit about the kind of sort of concerns you're getting from the commercial and industrial world and employers.
Sure. So we were struck, when in the process of writing the report, we were struck by many different surveys of employers, you know, across sectors, that told the same story, which is a little surprising if you think about the pressures from employers that may have contributed to driving some of the narrowing in higher education, some emphasis on the disciplinary structure, what people call, often refer to as silos. Survey after survey over the last several years have told the story that now employers are saying students are coming out of higher education not adequately prepared for the workforce, not adequately prepared not only for their first job, but their second job and their third job and their third career. Mm-hmm. And what they're missing isn't the technical depth. They're doing okay. Students are doing okay on technical skills. But what they're missing are these cross-cutting, holistic skills, knowledge, and competencies that are the kind of hallmark of a liberal education. So traits like critical thinking, ability to communicate in a written oral form, ethical reasoning, a sort of global understanding. And these, interestingly enough, are also the kinds of learning outcomes that many, many institutions of higher education say all students should leave the institution having possessed.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. So, Irene, if there's one other thing that struck you as you were working on the report, you know, what are the pressures that led to the National Academy mm-hmm. to other pressures to say it was time to do a report?
Well, I think, there is the pressure coming from, you know, the changes in the workforce, obviously, that Ashley just alluded to. But there's also pressure in higher ed itself. Like, and you mentioned that as well, there's a struggle of, is general education serving our students? Is it equipping students with the necessary skills that they need to succeed in their academic careers yeah. and in the workforce? And so I think, for me personally, I think that the takeaway message from this report is that, you know, there's a passion, there's a really big passion to integrate arts, humanities, and STEM, and faculty, they're doing it already, despite of a lot of institutional barriers. You know, the question is, you know, how can we support these faculty members, despite some of this, you know, and the institutional barriers that might seem trivial,
yeah.
you know.
Okay, so, you know, that's an interesting thing that you just referred to in the discussions. One of the points that both of you have been making is, as you've been traveling around the country, clearly people are doing it.
Yeah,
yes, yeah.
And so part of it is that these people are not aware of how other people are doing it. You've got this wonderful compendium on the National Academy site with 200 programs or initiatives. So if any of the listeners want to have their program listed, please do contact
yep.
Either Irene or Ashley. So Kyle, do you have one question for our two eminent guests?
So we've been talking about how the private sector has been really like outspoken about needing more T-shaped individuals, so to speak. I'm just curious if you've gotten any similar feedback from the governmental legislative side.
And the diplomatic in yeah. particular.
A very good question. I think the congressional... The congressional side... there are some within Congress, I think, who are very much aligned with this thinking. I mean, there is a STEAM caucus, for instance.
Right.
I think that those on the Hill, I get the sense anyway, they are very much aware of the messages that we're getting from industry, and not only employers, not only about students and what they need, but also this need to innovate and mm-hmm. this notion that we now are living in an innovation economy, and mm-hmm. for the United States to remain competitive, we need to continue to innovate, and the you know, we need people who are able to think
yeah.
across.
One of the things that Kyle and I talked about in the car on the way over to track you into a podcast was that we were both struck, and a number of other people, by the narrative you had about your work at the State Department, how diplomats need to be better trained in science and technology areas, but also I think both of you worked on a study that was on science and technology in USAID. So tell us a little bit about how that world thinks branches of the same tree is relevant to what their mission is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, for sure, organizations like the State Department are dealing with, and USAID are dealing with human issues in a global context. And it's clear when you start to examine those issues that they're not issues that you can address with only one sort of toolkit. You need to bring science and technology and an understanding of cultures and language.
Sociology
and business and...
And even history.
And history, oh my God, of course. And art and what moves people to address these sorts of issues. So for sure, I think it plays out. But I do think the challenges of having individuals and groups able to appreciate the ways that the different sort of lenses that you can see a problem through different disciplines and different tools that are available to you, to be able to appreciate how to apply those to problems. It is still, it's a challenge, I think, in any sector.
Okay. So, unfortunately, you both have commitments that you need to get to 20 minutes ago. So, Irene, is the one last thing you'd just like to mention or bring up for our listeners?
Yeah, so I would definitely go check out nap.edu to download our report if you're interested. If you go to nas.edu/branches, you'll find a link to the report, but also a link to the summary of the report for a more digestible version of a 300-page report. So you can check those out, as well as our compendium, which is also available on the website.
You have one other thing you want to mention?
I'll just say that we want to hear from you. The report itself is, we hope, our intention was to have it reflect this movement in higher ed and capture the voices of those who are doing this, but we know that we didn't capture everyone's input, and so we want to hear from you. Please reach out to us and stay tuned, because we're going to be doing all kinds of interesting, creative things to try to spread the word about the report, including theatrical dialogues and videos and online toolkits. So please stay engaged with
us. Okay, so I'm going to leave the listeners with a couple of thoughts. You may want to respond or not. So, and if this is confidential information, we'll edit it out of the podcast. But you have both told us about your excitement, that a playwright has been hired to try and turn the report into a different mode of dissemination and explanation that playwrights are really good at. So maybe you can say a couple more words about that, but then I just had the brilliant idea that the podcast that we are going to have is going to be titled Branches from the Same Tree, / Playwrights of the World Unite. So why do both of you think employing a professional playwright on the outreach for this report is a good idea, and what might it lead to?
Well, you know, I think we talked about a little bit about this yesterday. Our staff, we like to do skits to convey the message of the report, and we've done that a lot, but we're not professionals. But we know that this mode of communication is really effective and really interesting, and you know, we've gotten a lot of good reception from doing it, and so we thought it might be a good idea to actually hire a professional to do a good job at, you know, conveying this report, you know, in a way that, you know, everybody can understand and appreciate. And we wanted to be able to also infuse arts and humanities in the way we communicate this project. So,
Okay, very good. So maybe we can look forward to the NAS skit channel in coming years. And then my final thing, and Ashley's going to hate me for it. She's a world expert on butterflies, because she did a PhD on butterflies, and she's the first person I've met in 68 years of my life who studied butterflies. Is there anything from that research that's relevant to this discussion?
Good question. I think so.
That's what interdisciplinary is about.
Yeah, I think so.
So people like butterflies?
I think that that there's a grand tradition within the study of butterflies, the science of studying butterflies and entomology in general. I think there's a really deep, rich history of bringing the arts to that conversation, because, I mean, if you think about naturalists had to capture what they were studying by drawing it originally, and so there's this appreciation for the aesthetic beauty in nature. And I'll just say I'm an evolutionary biologist, and so you have to reflect on the history of evolutionary biology, and Darwin began his journey of, you know, that led to the exploration of evolution actually originally in the seminary as pursuing a career, I suppose you could say, as a religious scholar and priest. And so I think that sort of underlies the spirit of the branches from the same tree, that when we're exploring, what we're all trying to do is explore life and the meaning of life and what we can understand about the world around us, and there are different ways that we can do that, and we may find ourselves going in the direction of science or going in the direction of religion or going in the direction of art, but I think it's motivated by the same human curiosity and desire to understand.
Okay, so I'm going to take the prerogative of the instigator of this discussion and propose that we rename the podcast Branches from the Tree, Same Tree, Playwrights and Butterflies of the World Unite.
There you go. I like that.
So why don't we do that? Okay, thank you so much for your time coming to Dallas and the town hall meetings. And we look forward to the event in Washington April 12th. And again, the report is available for free on the NAS website, nas.edu/branches.
edu/branches.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.